I'm on social media, so WhatsApp. We have this WhatsApp group, and in a number of groups, and they keep sending me lots of stuff for you to read. And a lot of us just forward the things as we get them because it looks like good information. But we don't tend to question, where's this coming from? I mean, you might trust the person who sent it to you, but where's the source? What's really behind it? The other day, my sister sent me something about KFC. And said, you know, did you notice that they don't say Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore? And I said, that sounds interesting. And it went on to say that KFC is growing these things that are like chickens, but they're not really chicken. They're growing these four-legged things. Because everybody likes chicken legs, so they grow these things that have four legs, without feathers and without beaks. So be careful how you eat KFC. Now, I eat KFC, so I went and do my research at the same time. Of course, my wife reassured me because she works at Jamaica Broilers, and KFC is one of their big, their big customers. So I figure we'll stay with KFC. But the point is that sometimes we get the information and we don't check it. We just pass it on because it sounds good. In fact, some of us, the fact that it comes from the internet, it must be true. It must be true. And the fact that it comes from the internet is the very reason why you ought to check it, because it's probably not true. Alright? So, we need to be careful. Some of us get caught up with the media. You know, if it comes on TV, if the person is standing behind a microphone, if they've made it onto the radio, they must know what they're talking about. But the fact that they are there doesn't necessarily mean that what they're saying is true. We need to check it out. We can react in several ways to the things that are said, depending on who says it. Some people, when they say things to us, it couldn't matter one way or the other. Like, let's say, like water of a duck's back, it just runs off and thing. Like if somebody calls you a fool. You know, depending on who says it. Like, yeah, who you? Anyway, if I'm with my friends and if Matthew was here, you know, we joke sometimes and say, you're fooly, man. I don't take it personally because I'm a friend, you know. But then, let's say my daughter, Danielle, she's 11. The other day we were going out and she had to pay adult fare. And I said, listen, they're only paying the adult fare. You're not an adult. But let's say I told Danielle to go and do something. I said, Daddy, you can't talk to me. You're a fool. That would be a different kind of fool, no. In fact, you know, that probably evokes some kind of emotion. Dial 119, get some help for, because something is going to follow that is not going to be so pleasant. You understand? So I could ignore it, I could get angry, and then there are cases where somebody calls you a fool and there's reason to stop, take pause, and assess, because it may be something that is really true. I tell people that, you know, I passed 40. I don't look that way, I know. But when I came to 40, they told me that, you know, this is the time that you need to start going to the doctor. You need to start going to the doctor. And the less enlightened amongst us may have a problem going to the doctor for that special test that you get at 40. You know, and you have to do it every year. Special test. But, you know, there are some of us who said, no. Not doing the test. Not doing the test. But your doctor might look at you and say, listen, choosing not to do that test, you're a fool. Because the risk that you're exposing yourself to, you're a fool for not doing it. When my doctor calls me a fool now, then there's reason to step back and say, you know, let me think about that. Let me think about that. And so I figured there are about three ways that we can react to things. And the interesting thing is that these are the same things that happened to Jesus. Jesus spoke, and there are some persons who just didn't like what he was saying. And so they turned away and they walked away. Ignored him. Just don't like what you're saying. Just move on. Other persons got angry. In fact, out of what he said, there were persons who tried to kill Jesus Christ. Just because of the things he said. But there were those persons who took the time out to examine themselves, to accept what he said as truth, and to make changes in their life. How will you react to what Jesus has to say about you this morning? The name or the title for the sermon is Fools. Fools. And I want to tell you that by the end of this sermon, there are many of us inside here who will qualify for the title Fool. The thing about it is that the person who is going to call you a fool is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ calls you a fool, be sure you are a fool. You can get angry, don't change it. You're still a fool. You can turn your back and walk through the door and say, "Chuck, let me not know what I'm going to talk about." Still a fool. But you have the choice this morning to take it to heart. Take it personal. Look at yourself and make a change and decide to be wise. What we're going to do this morning is look at a couple of examples, a couple of stories that Jesus told. And we're going to try and learn from them. Because in each of them, there are some persons that Jesus Christ called fools. And I want us to think about ourselves, to think about our lives, and think about if we qualify as fools. And there's nothing wrong with being a fool. Nothing wrong with being wrong. Nothing wrong with recognizing that you're going down the wrong way. Because that is an opportunity for change. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. And the three cases that we look at are all parables. And so Jesus was trying to teach us things. Jesus was trying to get some lesson over to us. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21.
And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
All right, hold on. So, I'm going to ask to read it again. Alright, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. But I just want to read it from the Amplified. We're going to read the rest of the passage, but I want to read verse 15 from the Amplified. And what we want to realize is that Jesus Christ is saying that if you put your trust more in your possessions than God, then you are a fool. If you put your trust in your possessions more than God, then you are a fool. Verse 15, and this is kind of the introduction to the parable. And he said to them, reading from the Amplified, "Guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness." That is the desire, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing an overflowing abundance, or that is which is over and above his needs. And I want us to read the passage that follows now in the context of that. Jesus Christ is talking about this desire that we have for more. Read verse 16, following.
"And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully."
Stop. No, it starts and says that the ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully. And what we need to realize here is that this man was blessed. When we have prosperity, when things are well in our lives, when there are good things that we are experiencing, we ought to recognize who it comes from. You see, when we get good things, it ought to be reason to stop and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And that ought to be our attitude towards our possessions and the things that we have. When we are blessed, we ought to say, "Thank you, God." But notice this man's attitude. Let's continue. Verse 17 following.
"And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say, to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry."
Stop. From verse 17 to 19, we come across six eyes. Six eyes. He thought within himself and said, this is what I will do. And he's talking about everything that he's going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build new ones, and I will bestow all my goods there, and I will do this and I will do that. And you notice that in all his thinking, there's a person who is absent. The person who caused him to have it in the first place. It was all about himself. Read on.
And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Verse 21.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God.
So is he that layeth up not treasures. What is it? Read it again.
So is he that layeth up treasure
for himself.
And is not rich toward God.
Towards God. God said, you're a fool. You're a fool because you've been working so hard to look about your well-being. You've been working so hard to look about the physical self. You see, he got to the point where he had so much that he said, listen man, I've arrived. I can kick back. I can relax. I can say to my soul, listen, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. You have more than enough to keep you for the rest of your life. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what? Don't leave me alone out here now. But that's what we work for. We get up every day, we go to school, we study. Study hard and go through the night, right, Kerry? Trying to get our education so that we can get a better job. And a better job can get us more money. And more money will get us more things. And more things will make life better. And soon enough, if we work hard enough, we'll get to that point where we can kick back and say, eat, drink, and be merry. Because you have much goods laid up. That's what we're working for, right? But what God says, thou fool. After you put in all of this effort, if your soul is taken from you tonight, what you got? So what you working for? What you working for? If you are not rich towards God at the end of your life, then your life would have been wasted on foolishness. But again, that's what we spend our time on. That's what we spend our time day in, day out. Most of our waking hours are spent looking about self, about this physical man. And we ignore the spiritual man, and it's to our detriment. How many of us qualify as fools this morning? Matthew 25. I must confess, each of these stories is enough to be a lesson of itself. And I have to kind of be careful not to spend too much time in any one so that we don't spend the morning and not get to the rest of them. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. And this one talks about that we are fools when we take time for granted. We are fools when we take our time for granted. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. And you can read through, I won't disturb it. Matthew 25, 1 to 13.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, thoughtless without forethought, and 5 were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them, also with their lamps. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads, and they fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he replied, "I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come."
We are fools as it relates to how we see time. Dave sent me a little video about a man who was in a plane and had to make an emergency landing. Emergency landing. And the man spoke. I mean, he survived and everything. And he said in those couple minutes between when he heard, he felt the plane jerk, and then the engines went out and there was silence, and then the voice came over the intercom and the pilot said, "Brace for impact." But in those few minutes, a number of things changed for him. When he looked back on his life and some decisions he made and some things that he did, he said, you know, if he had it to do over again, he would have done it differently. And when he survived, it said it changed his life forever, because he saw things differently now. He did start to look at the time that he had and treat the decisions that he made differently. I believe a lot of decisions we make are because we think that we have time. There are things that we probably should be doing now that we put off because we always believe that there's going to be tomorrow. There's always going to be more time. There's always going to be later. And he said, you don't carry feelings no more, you know. You don't hold up any ill will against people because you may not have the time to get rid of it. You may not get the time to self-start. And it robs you of your time because you spend all this time being angry when you could have let it pass and move on. And so a lot of things that we do based on the fact that we think that we have time. In the parable of the virgins, Jesus tells of these, I guess we'd call them bridesmaids today. And they were waiting. They were supposed to be a part of the procession that would take the bridegroom to the bride. Alright, take the bridal party into the wedding feast. Alright, and they had lamps that they would carry because it was done at night. And so they had their oil in there and they lighted the lamps. And they were waiting for the sound that said the bridegroom was here. And so that was time now to go into the wedding feast. Right? So they had their lamps. Now notice that the story says that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. So we have a total of 10 virgins in the story. The difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish lay in how they use their time to prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. 10 virgins were invited to be a part of the celebrations when the bridegroom came. 10 had lamps and were equipped to welcome the bride. 10 virgins were waiting. 10 virgins grew tired and fell asleep. 10 virgins heard a trumpet heralding the bridegroom's arrival. But only 5 were ready. Only 5 entered into the feast. The difference lay in how they used their time in preparing. The 5 who Jesus called wise and who entered the feast had spent time preparing. They had invested early in getting enough and extra to ensure they would not miss out. You see, the five who Jesus called foolish and who were locked out had not prepared enough. They didn't realize how long the wait would have been. They didn't realize that what they had was not enough to take them the length of time that they would have been waiting. And so while they had time to prepare, they didn't. And so they just did not have enough oil to take them through the time so that they were ready when the bridegroom came. These were the foolish ones. What are we doing with our time now? Somehow foolishness is not partial. We have foolish people outside, but we certainly have foolish people inside the church. How are we using the time that we have now? As Christians, we can look outside and we look at the man outside and he's living in sin and we're saying, that man's foolish. He should give his life to God. And it's true. If you are here this morning and you are living outside of Jesus Christ, you are in your sin. And it's foolish if you remain there. But in the church, and this is the context here, those who are preparing for the coming of the bridegroom, we know the bridegroom is coming. We've heard the message. We've been invited to be a part of that party when he comes. We've been given the light of the word. We have it prepared. We have everything that we need to be ready when the bridegroom comes. There's no reason why we shouldn't enter in and be a part of that marriage feast. But have we spent the time to prepare properly? Do you have enough oil in your lamp to keep you until the bridegroom comes? Have you spent the time to invest to ensure that you have enough to keep you? Because we don't know when he's going to come. We don't know if he's going to come tomorrow while we still feel. Because they say right now we might feel good. We feel good and we're Christians. We feel faithful. We feel like we're working for God. And that's no. And if he comes tomorrow, then maybe we're good. Maybe. But let's say he doesn't come for now the next 5 years. 10, 15, 20 years. Will your Christianity still be holding up then? Are you stocking up on the oil? Do you have enough and extra to make it through to ensure that when he comes, regardless of when he comes, I will be ready? How are you using your time? It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted. I mean, we live in this physical world and it's easy to take your eye off the spiritual things. And our oil can just be burning out little by little. And before you know it, it's out. But we are the people who are to be conscious. We're the people who are supposed to be checking the eye level and saying, listen man, time to top it up. What are you investing your time in? Are you ensuring that the light is lit? Are you spending time feeding on the word of God? Are you allowing that word of God to get into your life and change you into the person that you're supposed to be? Because if not, then those eye levels are getting lower and lower and lower. And before you know it, it's out. How many of us know people who were once here, who are back outside? Lamps that have gone out. How many people you know who were once here, who were active and a part of things, who are struggling now just to get to church on a Sunday morning? How is your oil this morning? How is your Christianity? Are you investing it? Are you investing it in the fellowship of the people? How you treat worship? How you treat Bible study? How you treat your own personal Bible study? You're visiting? You're getting in all that you can. So your Christianity is where it should be. That if God comes, you say, yes, I'm ready to go. I was just drifting down, little by little. How are you spending your time this morning? Are you a fool? Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. We are fools based on how we respond to the word of God. We are fools based on how we respond to the word of God. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
So, we have two persons in this story. Two of them were building their houses. But God describes one as wise and one as foolish. And it says that the difference between the two is those who hear and do. That's the wise one. The ones who hear and don't do, those are the foolish ones. If we look at most of the passages in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that talk about fools and foolishness and folly, in the majority of the cases, it is based on how persons relate to the Word of God. Amen. Old Testament, New Testament, and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, a lot of passages that talk about the fool this, fool that. But most of the time, it's dependent on how the person relates to the Word of God. And in this passage, Jesus says, the one who hears and does is the wise one. The one who hears and fails to do, that's the foolish one. And so, if you are here this morning, God has a message for you. He's saying to you that, listen, you are in your sins. And if you continue along that path, you'll be eternally lost. But, listen man, I love you. I love you so much that I was willing to send Jesus Christ to die for you that you don't have to go there. You can be saved. You can be saved from sin. You can be saved from the consequences of your sin. All you have to do is to come. All you have to do is to come. Now you've heard. Now it's up to you to determine whether you're going to be wise or foolish. Are you going to be wise and do what he's asking of you? Or are you going to be foolish and turn and walk away? Throughout the Bible, I tell you that as the Bible speaks, it is based on how man responds to the word of God that determines whether he is wise or foolish. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." And so it is that when you live a life in the fear of God, then that is wisdom. Psalm 14 and verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. And it's not so much that he's denying the existence of God, but more that he is ignoring what God wants for his life. Because it continues, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Isaiah 32 and verse 6. For fools speak folly. Their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness and spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry they leave empty, and from the thirsty they withhold water. It is that if we are not paying attention to what God's will is for our life, then we are foolish. In 1 Samuel 13:13, Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." Are we keeping the commandments of the Lord this morning? You know, we say that we believe there's a God. Right? That's why we're here, right? Because we believe there's a God. And we believe that because he's God, he's almighty, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. Then why are we ignoring him? Why would we discredit the things that he has asked of us to do? If he is all-wise and we don't know nothing, why would we discredit him? Why would we not pay attention to the things he has asked of us? If he's all-powerful and we are powerless, right, dust, why would we ignore what he has commanded of us to do? Who are we to turn our backs on Almighty God? Who are we to walk away from what he has asked us to do? Now, if there's anybody who qualifies as a fool, it must be the man who turns his back on Almighty God. But don't we do it? We can look outside the church again and we can talk about those in sin. But what about those of us inside here? What is the quality of your Christianity? How much of God's will are you obeying, and how much of it are you pushing round to the back? Because we can be selective in our Christianity. We can choose the things that we want to do so that we are comfortable in our Christianity. For some of us, it's enough to be here on a Sunday morning. Everybody says, "Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Hey." You shake your hand and you smile. That's it. That's it. And we feel good. Because every Sunday morning we come and we're nice and we look nice and we shake hands and we smile. And that's it. And we're comfortable. But is that all that God has asked of us? Are we just as foolish as the man outside there? We figure that we're going to make it in by being selective about what will of God we're going to choose to obey. Do we have any fools in the audience this morning? You know, all God asks of us, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. One verse. Read it for me. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13.
All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all in harmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man.
Thank you, Brother Fisher. Can we get it from the King James Version?
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Fear God. Keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Everything else frills. Everything else frills. You could succeed at school, at business, you could be the best parent, the best husband, the best wife, best at everything else. But if you miss in your service to Almighty God, your duty to your whole purpose has been lost. Everything else is for nothing. For nothing. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's a whole duty of man. Verse 21 of Matthew 7 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We must be about the will of Almighty God. And you know, the Bible tells us that, you see, when you're about the will of God, there are some people who are going to look at you and call you a fool. When you are trying to be faithful to Almighty God, there are going to be persons who are looking at you and saying that, "You're an idiot, man." When they see you going into your pocket and taking out your money and putting the plate for Carl Mitchell, say, "You're a fool, man. You give me your money." When they see you taking the time out to be at service and say, "No, I have to be at church. I can't go here, I can't go there, I have to be at church." Say, "Oh, you're a fool, man." When you're trying to be a person of integrity, not willing to compromise your relationship with Almighty God to get ahead or to get by or to get out of situations, they're going to look at you and call you a fool. But isn't that a good fool to be? If there's any fool you're going to be a fool for Almighty God. You see, the people who are perishing on the outside, they look on those of us who have accepted the gospel and they say the gospel is foolishness. That's what Paul says in Romans. Those who perish look at the gospel and they call it foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25. And those of us who have accepted the gospel, we would seem as fools. But it would be a glorious thing to be a fool for Almighty God. Because I'd rather that Almighty God look at me and say, "Listen, you're being wise," than the world look at me and look, and God says that I'm being a fool. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 23. 1 Corinthians 3, and read verse 18.
"Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool."
Stop. Alright, finish the verse. Sorry.
"That he may be wise."
You need to become a fool so that you can be wise. You see, we can be wise by the world's standards. A lot of us are accomplished persons by the world's standards. We have achieved things by the world's standards. But you see, if you have accomplished nothing in the name of Almighty God, then you are a fool. He says that you need to become fools to be wise. Let us be a people who are making our minds up to be a fool for Almighty God. That by God's standard, we may be declared wise. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 11. Paul said, "Listen, man, I'm a fool for glory. Because you know what? I have been suffering some things. Them stoned me, them beat me, them threw me in a prison. The time of things I got through. For the name of Almighty God. That, you know, I really look like a fool. But I glory in those sufferings. I glory in those things." When it is that we have a life centered on Almighty God, then regardless of where it takes us, we can find comfort in that. We can find comfort in the fact that we are living lives that are glorifying Almighty God. And that's the kind of fool that we want to be. We don't want to be the kind of fool that has their mind set on the possessions of this life, ignoring Almighty God. We don't want to be the kind of fool that has a wrong perspective as it relates to our time. We want to be the kind of person that invests in our time, in our spiritual well-being. We want to be the kind of fool that is paying attention to the Word of God. That's the kind of fool that we want to be this morning. Today, you can be a good fool. Today, you can be wise. Today you can make a decision to be obedient to Almighty God. Today you can decide to use the time you have to prepare yourself for Christ's return. Today you can decide to make an investment in your eternal well-being rather than the fleeting temporal things of this life. You can start by hearing God's word that He says that He loves you. Regardless of who you are or what you have done, God loves you. That's supposed to just stop us in our tracks. If you have any concept of sin and just how messed up we are, the fact that the holy, righteous God loves you. Not all of us. You. Should make a big difference in your life. God loves you. Hear that not only that He loves you, but that He sent His Son to save you from your sins. But you must choose to obey Him. He wants you to believe His word. He wants you to make a decision to change your life, to turn from sin and self and turn to the Almighty God. He wants you to confess His name. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of Him. He's not ashamed of you. He was willing to go out there and suffer shame for you. People spit on Him, took Him. Pure as He was accused, nailed to a cross for you. He asked that He confess, just confess that you believe who He says that He is. And finally, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. It's not much. All you have to do is go down in the water and come up. And you come up changed. As great as God is, God can't remember the sins that you committed before you were baptized. That's how complete His forgiveness is. And that's what He calls you to. Complete forgiveness. And then you have the time to continue faithful with Christ until death. This morning, you have the chance to make a decision. We sometimes treat the beginning of the year as a time to make resolutions. But you can make a resolution right now. You don't have to wait until January come around again. You can make a decision right now. You see, right now is the first second, the first minute of the rest of your life. How do you plan to live it? Are you going to be wise this morning? Or will you be a fool? The decision is yours. As we invite the song leader to come with the song of invitation.